I've been titling messages lately, and I titled this one, Keeping Scripture in Its Place. Because everything in life has a place. Both in physical and spiritual life, it has a place in our life. All of these things. That means they have to be prioritized. Because if you just jumble everything together and you don't have a priority, nothing's important. But you have to have a priority, and you assign priorities to things. Because when you do that prioritizing, they all fit together better. So for an example is if you wanted to go on a missions trip, well, that missions trip is important, but your health, you can't go on a missions trip unless you're healthy. So you have to prioritize your health before you go on a missions trip. The missions trip is important, but your health is more important in order to fulfill the missions trip. That's prioritizing. In our spiritual life, there are also some priorities that have to take place. And they're not going to all be the same for everybody. It depends on your calling. For different people, different calling, different priorities. It's going to be based on that calling. But there are some things that are just the same priorities for all people to follow. And that's when we follow Yeshua, we're all going to have those same priorities. And what is it? Adonai over everything. Adonai over all. And when I say Adonai, I'm talking about the triune of Adonai. The Abba, the Father, Yeshua, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit. All together. They have to come first over everything and every time. Now, it's going to sound strange to some people because they're going to say, well, what about my family? What about my spouse? Aren't they important? Don't I put them on top? And I don't say that you disregard them, but prioritize Adonai first. Because here at Karen Orr, well, you know what we say? We say Adonai first, and then family, and then congregation. They have to be in that order of your priority. Those should be the priorities of everybody here in that order. Adonai, family, and congregation. In that order. Because if you put congregation before family, things are going to start going a little wonky in your relationship with your spouse and your family. So you have to put Adonai first. You have to put the family next, and then the congregation. And we here understand that. We know where we are. Family first. Family second. When we look within the Torah portion today, we'll see Adonai setting priorities for us. And we may not even see it the first time we look through it, but there is something that comes over Scripture. Can you believe that? There's something more important than Scripture. Some people would go, wow, what could that be? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 4 to see what it is. Deuteronomy 4, starting in verse 1, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to do. This is Moses speaking. So that you may live and go in and possess the land that Adonai, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You must not add to the word that I am commanding you or take away from it in order to keep the mitzvot of Adonai your God that I am commanding you. Out of this scripture, there are two points that I want to make today. The first is what I've already stated. Adonai first. The purpose of Torah and all scripture is to follow Adonai. Therefore, Adonai is first and scripture is second to Adonai. I lost my place in my script. Sorry. Adonai is first, Scripture is next, and it can never be the other way around. You can't put Scripture before Adonai. Because when we put Adonai first over Scripture, it does a few things for us. It'll help us to keep our eye on the prize. The prize is not to live a Torah-led life, but to be led by Torah to Adonai, to have a life in Adonai. The goal is not just to follow Torah so that we can boast that we're Torah observant or that we're Scripture observant, but to live so that we can boast that we know Adonai and know the Son, Yeshua, and that Torah has led us to them. It may be a subtle difference, but it indicates what and who you follow. Do you follow rabbis and Scripture, or do you follow Adonai by the way of the Scripture? Have you heard the saying that it's not the destination, but it's the journey that counts? Right? A lot of people think that, you know, the world, you live your life and it's that journey. It's not where you're going to end up that's important. I'm going to say flat out, that's not true. That's just not true. I say when it comes to our spiritual life that it's wrong. And it's all about the destination, when that destination is Adonai and heaven for eternity. Torah is the way that we get there, but Adonai is the goal. For some, they enjoy the road trip over the place that they're going to get to, and that's okay. But when it comes to your spiritual life, the destination is the goal. It can't be the journey. The journey is important. The journey is how you're going to get to your destination. But the destination, Yeshua as the Messiah, our atonement, that's more important than how you get there. This is what we're told in Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and ordinances that Adonai your God commanded to teach you to do in the land you are crossing over to possess, so that you might fear Adonai your God, to keep all his statutes and mitzvot that I am commanding you and your son and your son's son all the days of your life, so that you may prolong your days. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and take care to do this, so that it may go well with you, and you may increase mightily with Adonai, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. The reason that Moses gives for teaching the word of Adonai is that we may prolong our lives, prolong our days. And when we read it, it would indicate to, for most people, a long life. And doesn't most people want a nice long life? So what would a long life look like? 70 years, 75 years, 100 years, 120 years? Well, I don't think the writers of Scripture think of long life the same way that we do today. And I'm not just talking about years. I believe that when we write that the writers did not think that way of years on the earth when they were talking about long life. Let's look at James and then what David says about the length of time we have here on earth. First James says this in James 4, starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. What is your life? Fewer a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Life on earth, he says, it's but a vapor and only for a little while. And it sounds depressing and it's short. You know, our lives are so short. Listen what King David says in Psalm 39, starting in verse 5. Let me know, Adonai, my end and what the number of my days is. Let me know how short-lived I am. Behold, you made my days mere handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing before you. Surely all humanity is but vapor. Selah. So why does Moses say that following Scripture prolongs our life, when both the New and Old Covenant writers, who knew Adonai, believed life was short? I believe it's because they were right about the days on earth, but Moses was right about our days before Adonai for all eternity. The goal of the spiritual journey is what Adonai, through Moses, was speaking about. After all, Scripture cannot contradict itself. So one part can't say life is long on earth, and another part say life is short on earth. They have to agree, and the way they agree is one is talking about eternity, and one is talking about life on earth. Two different things. If you believe that the spiritual journey is the epitome and the goal of life is to follow Torah, then you may be placing your focus on the instructions instead of the reason for the instructions. So I would caution all of us today to be certain that we place things in the right priorities. Scripture is to lead us to Adonai and Yeshua, and it is not Adonai that leads us to Scripture. It seems to me that Rabbinic Judaism has gotten to the point where of wanting to keep the journey the main thing instead of the destination as the main thing. They want to place the importance of doing over the importance of why they're doing. And I'm not knocking Judaism, because we see this in the church today as well. And I bet if we look in Messianic communities, we can see it there in some Messianic communities as well. They may not think so, but that's what they're doing. And I think in the rabbinic world, if they were to take their eye off of the instructions and prioritize the reason for the instructions, that they would more easily see what those instructions point towards. Point towards our Messiah and point to the Messiah that already has come the first time for us. I think they would see the signposts in history that show us that Messiah has already come the first time to save us. Yeshua has not done away with those scriptures, but carried them out so that we can trust the one that they point to. Yeshua is who they point to. And this brings me to the second point from Deuteronomy 4, that we need to also keep the word as only what the word says. By this, what I mean is we're told many times throughout Scripture that it says what it says, so don't add or subtract from it. Accepting Adonai means accepting his word to guide us, but accepting Adonai and amplifying his word does not lead us to him. In other words, if we're adding things to try to get closer to him more than what the word says, is not necessarily going to be leading you to him. Throughout history, men have tried to understand Scripture by either adding to it or subtracting from it so that it makes sense to them, or so it feels more real, or it feels more powerful. You know, as we were praying before Shabbat, during our Shabbat prayer, someone brought up the fact that Moses struck the rock because he thought it was more powerful, because he thought it was sending a message. He was adding. But what happened? He didn't get to go into the land because he added to the word. Adding, even when you think it makes the word more powerful, is not what Adonai is looking for us to do. We're warned one time after another in Scripture not to do this. Now, one of these warnings is found in Deuteronomy 12, starting in verse 29. When Adonai, your God, cuts off before you the nations that you're going in to dispossess, when you have dispossessed them and settled in their land, be careful not to be trapped into imitating them after they have been destroyed before you. Do not inquire about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I will do the same. You are not to act towards this, you're not to act like this towards Adonai, your God. For every abomination that Adonai, which he hates, they have done to their gods. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, you must take care to do. You are not to add to it or take away from it. Adonai wanted to be sure that the Israelites knew that what was good for false gods in the land was not good for him. That though they may look at the people in the land and say, you know, that's pretty good. We'll just incorporate it into our own praise and worship, into our own way that we worship our Adonai. It was good. You know, we'll only take the good bits and add it. That's not what Adonai wants us to do. You know, today they can, you can go around and say, look what that church is doing. Look what this synagogue is doing. We'll take a little piece of this, a little piece of this, a little piece of this. And we'll have a great congregation. No, it doesn't work that way. Now, we can look at other congregations and say, does that line up with the Word of God? And then go into prayer to see if he wants us to add to what we're doing. Does it line up? Does it give him glory directly? Is that what Scripture says? Then we'll know whether we should add to it. Same thing about taking away. You know, don't look at the world and say, look what they're doing. I should do the same thing. Yeah, I'll continue doing this, but I'll add this or I'll subtract because of this. That's not what Adonai wants from us. You know, sometimes the one is to tell the many how they should be acting. You know, we're Messianic Judaism, we're a fairly small movement in the world. When you compare it to other movements, other religions of the world, we're kind of small. The reality is Messianic Judaism is a smaller movement. But it doesn't mean that we should be influenced by them. We should be influencers on the world. And, you know, we can see this kind of play out a little bit in principle in the 10 words that Moses was given by Adonai on Mount Sinai. Now, when traditional rabbis look at the wording of that final instruction or the 10th commandment in Deuteronomy 5, they wonder, what does COVID mean? COVID, not COVID, COVID, COVID. Well, you guys know what I mean. They ask, is it an action? Or is it a heart attitude? They're not sure what COVID and covet means. So what do? They look at the four instructions before it to see how the next one should be done. So they look, and the four before it says, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false witness. Therefore, when they see those four, and they say, those are actions. Therefore, covet must be an action too. And they describe coveting as taking something from someone. Not just the desire, but actual taking it from them. They look at the many and they modify the one to match it. But I say that's looking incorrectly. They should be looking at the one and modifying the many in this case. The idea that covetousness is a heart attitude should not be changed into an action. But the actions of the other four, murder, adultery, stealing, lying, should be modified to understand it is the same way as coveting, as a heart attitude. This is really what Yeshua was teaching. Remember what he taught, saying, "You have heard it said." This is what he was referring to. Look at where and about what Yeshua teaches. First, about murder. Out of Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. "You've heard it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be subject to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Racha,' shall be subject to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be subject to the fiery Gehenna." Then the teaching about adultery, down to 5:27. "You have heard it said, you have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And then divorce, which he kind of lines up with stealing in verse 31. "It was said, 'Whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." And finally, about lying, verse 33. "Again, you have heard what it said, what it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall carry out your oaths to Adonai.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. But let your word yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything more than this is from the evil one." Yeshua clarifies each one of the commandments the rabbis were unsure about, whether it was really about a heart attitude or an action. We know that the actions are actions of flesh, but the attitudes are attitudes of the heart. I believe that the heart attitude must always be considered more important than the flesh actions taken. That is because with the help of the scriptures and the Ruach HaKodesh, we should be able to bring our flesh into submission to our spirit. And that should be rather than the spirit controlling our flesh, or being controlled by the flesh. I can truly say that if the flesh acts out of sin, but the heart attitude is correct, then the blood of the Messiah will cleanse us of that sin. But if the heart attitude is not correct, Adonai, who knows the heart, will not cleanse the sin that it comes out of. There are so many places that the word of Adonai tells us not to add or subtract from Scripture. From the very beginning of Scripture, Genesis 1:1, where we read that the beginning of God created heaven and earth, showing that Adonai created perfectly. And therefore, it cannot be improved upon by adding or subtracting. Right from there to the very last chapter of everything, Revelation, where Revelation 22 says this in verse 18, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are written in this book. Adonai has created perfection in his eyes, and we are not to try to change it by adding or by subtracting. It's the same with its word. You know, it's just like cooking. If you get a great recipe and you decide to change it and it doesn't come out good, is it the fault of the recipe and the chef who created the recipe? Or is it your fault for changing it? Adonai has created a perfect recipe for us. He's created a perfect world for us, but that is only if we follow his recipe that we gain the very best, that we gain success, that we gain all of his promises. The word of Adonai for us is the same. We have to follow it. If not, if you don't follow scripture, if you don't follow his recipe, then don't blame the chef who wrote that recipe for life. Everyone wants to blame, you know, look what God did. No, look what you did that caused what's going on. Amen? Father, we thank you that you have given us your perfect word. And you've created a world that, yes, it should be. It was created perfectly, but man has added and man has subtracted, and man is reaping what he has sown. Ruach HaKodesh, help us not to add and not to subtract. Help us to understand and help us to perform your words. Help us to share your word, which is perfect. Ruach HaKodesh, when we open our mouth to share, put your words in our mouth because your words are perfect. Ruach, we only want to do what you want us to do. We don't want to add. We don't want to subtract. We don't want to help you in that way. No. We want to help you by doing what you want us to do, but we certainly do not want to do, we don't want to try to impose ourselves to say, I know better, let's add this in. I know better, let's take this out. Ruach, may we never do that. May we learn your perfect word and live your perfect word. We know that we will need the help of the Ruach to do this. So we say, Ruach Elohim, come, be in our heart. Come, clarify our minds and thoughts. Have your way in our life. That will be the only time that we're able to do all that you want us to do. That will be the only way that we'll be able to perform perfectly for you. It's the only way that we'll be able to bring pleasure to you, to bring joy. It's the only time we're going to feel pleasure and joy is when we're aligned with you. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instructions you've given us. They are perfect just the way they are. Therefore, we proclaim we're going to live your word and not ours. And everyone said, amen and amen.